I looked at Jaframel, my eyebrows raising. He clasped his hands behind his back, watching the door. I almost pitied this sad son of a bitch is coming through, human or not. Wood snapped, groaning, and something slammed into the wall at my back.
Oh yeah, imps don't need to use doors.
I flung myself away from the wall, rolling, hitting the table. Jaframel moved forward. Another impact shattered the wall, splinters flying, dust smashing out. I squeezed the triggers, tracking two shapes that skittered away from the guns. I clipped one human, done up in assault gear. Night vision goggles, Kevlar, edged metal, and an assault rifle. No plasgun I can see.
Two humans. No, three. Four! And two imps. Why didn't I hear the other humans? Why didn't Tianz tell me there were imps? God damn it!
I leapt to my feet, right hand moving, holstering gun and closing around sword hilt. Jaframel moved, blurring between me and the two imps.
Jaf can take care of them. I have other problems.
The humans were just crawling with illegal augments, twitched out on neurospeeders and muscle spanners to make them quicker and deadlier than human, even as it shortened their lives. Even a Scion would have a hard time 4-on-1 with these guys. Not only were they augmented, their gear was also top of the line. Whoever sent them was making money no object.
Great. Time to dance.
My sword left the sheath. Half step forward, blade moving in a complicated whirling pattern. One man went to one knee by the door, raising his assault rifle. My left hand came up. He dropped. The man I'd clipped leapt for me, rifle reversed to use as a battering weapon.
Fast for a human, goddamn neurospeeders.
I ducked, my blade whooshing down in a half circle, slicing through Kevlar, intestines falling in a shimmering wet slither.
Where's the other one? I don't see him. Where is he?
More movement boiled into the room. My wrist cuff glowed. I ignored it. I had enough to deal with. Whirling, feet slipping in bloody mess. Two other men, both moving in, one lifting the rifle to his shoulder. Shot him. Then moved forward so quickly I collided with the last one. I ran him through, twisting the katana to break the suction of muscle against metal, tearing it free from between his ribs. Blood exploded as I jammed the gun under his chin for good measure.
Anubis, receive them kindly.
Blood steamed in the air. I turned in a tight half-circle, sword whirling up as something streaked from me. Clashing as an imp's claws rang off the blade, an impact jolting all the way up my arm.
Holy fuck, where's Jaf?
Backing up along the wall, sword a streak of blue flame as the imp lunged for me again, its claws bouncing off the sword. I lunged, shoving it back. The imp's black blood exploded as Jaframel's claws tore through its belly from the back, twisting up through its chest. He carved through demon flesh as if it was water, finishing with a single swipe that opened the thing's throat. There was a rush of black blood. Jaframel flicked his fingers and the imp turned into ash. White flame flickering through it in a strange veined pattern before it exploded in a cloud of grit.
Dante.
I'm good. The humans had been tricked out for serious night work. The night vision goggles alone were worth a fortune. Not to mention the augments. Any more?
Downstairs.
He straightened. Impeccable. Not an inky hair out of place.
There's one wounded.
I pointed out into the hall and holstered my left handgun. Slid my sword back into its sheath. There was a lot of that fine, sparkling ash on the floor, swirling through the air.
I just shot him once. Question him?
No need. The imps told me everything I need to know. Quickly, out.
I didn't stop to argue. I ran for the window, put one leg out, and ducked back as bullets chewed at the wooden frame, splintering the glass. Jaframel's hand closed around my arm.
This way.
What did the imps tell you?
Dappled green light flared from my wrist cuff. I held it up as Jaframel pulled me out the shattered door. We turned right, stepping over the bleeding man I'd shot. Jaf didn't quite drag me down the hall, but I had a hard time keeping up with him. His hand had turned to iron on my arm. He didn't hurt me, but I couldn't have broken free if I'd tried.
The imps told me enough that I see the wisdom of leaving this place now.
Up the stairs.
memory replayed itself, matched the sound.
The creature in the abandoned building.
It was getting closer, smashing against walls.
Sounds big.
I smelled heat. The wrist cuff squeezed my left arm, a terrible wrenching. The mark on my left shoulder flared in response. Jaframel's face was set, his eyes glowing so fiercely they cast shadows under his cheekbones. Spots of green light flickering. Sixth floor, no more stairs. He whirled and headed down the hall, his boots against threadbare carpet. I was too busy trying to keep up to ask him what the hell he was doing. I certainly hoped he had an idea, at least, because I was fresh out. He kicked a door open. Another room. He pivoted and aimed for the window.
Brace yourself.
I grabbed his shoulder. His other arm circled around me.
What do you mean, brace myself?
He launched us both out the window, glass shattering and bullets screaming past. Jaframel twisted. Whoever the sniper had been, he was dead now. Jaframel had shot him. I looked down.
Anubis, this is going to hurt. Too soon, I was not ready yet.
The breath was driven out of my lungs. Jaframel hauled me up, his fingers slipping and black blood dripping down my right shoulder. Orange city light glinted off the gun in his hand. His breath plumed in the chilly air. He suddenly burned with a mantle of power so intense it was like looking into a furnace of black diamond flames. Desultory rain steamed as it met Jaframel's aura. I had to blink fiercely to screen out my other sight and see the real world. It wasn't the street below, but another rooftop.
Well, that was wonderful. Can't wait to do that again. God damn, what was that thing? And how about warning me the next time you...
He pushed me behind him so hard I skidded across concrete rooftop, my back slamming into a climate control unit. I found myself squeezed between him and the unit's plasteel side. He went suddenly motionless, both arms up, two shiny silver guns in his hands. His aura spread over me, hazing and sinking in through my skin. He so rarely used a weapon, it was almost shocking.
If he has both guns out like this instead of one, it's bad.
Dante, if I tell you to run down the fire escape on the other side of the roof, do you understand?
What is that thing? It didn't sound like an imp.
It is not an imp. As you love life and hear it, do as I tell you this once, will you?
But what is it?
Hellhound.
Hellhound? That doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound good at all.
I froze, barely even breathing. Watched the gaping hole in the building we'd just burst out from.
They're going to try to flank us, Jaframel.
It bulleted out from the hole in the side of the hotel. I forgot about being quiet. Jaframel moved forward, firing. Small bursts puffed from the side of the building as he tracked it. It landed on the rooftop. Its eyes glowing unholy crimson. My sword came free of its sheath. Blue fire crested, the steel's heart flamed white. It was shaped like a leaner version of a werecane, low and four-legged with hulking shoulders and long claws. It was made of blackness, a dark so deep and fiery it burned.
Well, so this is a hellhound. None of the Magi texts had ever mentioned anything close to this. I'm gonna have to tell the Magi a thing or two, just as soon as I get out of this alive.
Teeth made of obsidian snapped. Jaframel faded aside. He shot it twice. He kicked the hellhound. Its eyes swept across the roof, locking on me. My sword flamed blue-white, etching shadows on the roof. My rings sparked, a cascade of gold. The emerald on my cheek burned. Its claws scrabbled. Jaframel's booted foot connected solidly. It rolled, twisted on itself, and streaked for me.
Dante, go!
I set my feet in the concrete.
I will not run.
Anubis!
I leapt forward. and was knocked aside by a solid weight slamming into me, rolling in a tumbling mess of arms and legs, me trying to keep my sword from splitting my own flesh. The hellhound streaked through where I had been standing, crashing into the casing. Sparks flew, hissing steam as the climate control circuits blew. Blue-white sparks fountained up. I threw up a hand to shield my eyes, the light searing through dark adapted pupils. McKinley rolled free, gaining his feet in one fluid movement. I spat blood, shook the dazing impact out of my head.
Sacred Sias!
McKinley, dark eyes blazing, held up his left hand. The oddly metallic coating on it sparkled like quicksilver.
Come on. Come on.
Who the hell is he talking to? Me or the Hellhound?
The Hellhound sprang, and Jaframel, his coat flaring behind him, shot it twice in the head. Jaff descended on the thing, avoiding its dying claw swipe, as he tore the life out of it. Then he gained his feet, black blood smoking from his hands. There was another low-slumped shape, a second Hellhound, lying twisted and broken on the rooftop.
Where the hell did that one come from? Anubis at their ka, there were two of those things?
I rose just as the bodies began to rot right in front of me. Noisome fluid gushed out of slack-jawed mouths, streaming between the sharp, glassy teeth. The smell smacked into me. I took two steps back. They were literally melting in front of my eyes. I swiped at my face with my free hand, scrubbed away blood from my nose, resheathed my sword. Jaframel looked at me.
Are you hurt?
I looked down at myself.
I don't think I'm hurt.
No.
I glanced at McKinley, who had a gun out and trained on the closest body as it rotted. His black eyes blazed, and the metallic coating on his hand shifted a little, settling back into his skin.
Where the hell did he come from?
Where did you come from?
Time to go. Transport's waiting. There are more on the way.
Human or otherwise?
Yes.
McKinley's dark eyes flicked over me once.
My lord,
come.
Jaframel arrived at my side, grabbed my arm, and gave me a once-over. Nodded briefly to himself.
Leave it, McKinley. It's dead.
The Hellesfront agent holstered his gun.
Fire escape.
He pointed.
I told you, run.
Jaff's eyes were furious, and his mouth a thin line.
Ugh.
The mark on my shoulder turned hot, melting into my skin.
I couldn't leave you to face that thing alone.
I yanked my arm free of his hold. He let me, his fingers opening as if I'd struck him.
Let's go.
I closed my eyes, leaning against Jaframel's side. Subway lights flickered as the hover train tore down reactive greased tracks. McKinley watched the interior of the car from where he slumped in a seat, scowling. His crow-black hair was wildly mussed. We were alone on a New Prague subway train, fluorescent light buzzing overhead. Jaframel hadn't spoken, guiding us down through subway tunnels and finally onto this train. McKinley said nothing as well. Jaff's arm tightened around me, another wash of power burning through my nerves as my eyes flew open. It was pleasant, and it kept me out of shock, but I was beginning to wonder if Jaframel even realized he was flooding me with power. It was an uncomfortable thought.
That's not something I ever want to do again.
He kissed my temple.
I told you to go. McKinley was waiting to cover your retreat while I dealt with the Hellhounds.
God damn it. Just like a demon.
That was awful.
I contented myself with a non-committal reply for maybe the first time in my life.
I prize you, my curious. I would not lose you.
You won't. You killed it, both of them.
Hellhounds for a Hedera. They could have killed you.
You were there, so everything's okay.
I sound like a drippy heroine on a holovid, but it's true.
If we face another, you must do as I say. Do you understand me?
Still, when I looked at him, I felt the rasp of irritation and distaste rise under my breastbone. I just instinctively didn't like him.
I'm not going to abandon you. Don't ask me to do that.
You must live, Dante. While you live, I live.
Did he just sound like he'd intended to say more and changed his mind?
You said the imps told you something. What?
The Hellhound might be Velokel's trick. He is the hunter, and rode with hounds when your kind was not even a dream in the prince's agile brain. We may not be the only hunters the prince has contracted. This was not unexpected, but something I thought unlikely.
The hunter, right? He might be looking to take me out first, and you think Lucifer may have sent someone else, too.
I worried gently at my lower lip with my teeth.
All right. I've got an idea.
Save me from your ideas, my curious. What is it?
Lucifer wants these demons dead. But he doesn't trust either of us, especially after you pulled your stunt. So what does he do? He smacks me with a few hovers and an imp, making as much noise as possible to distract and draw out whatever demon is around. Then he sends another group of hunters in to do the real dirty work. Only this Velokel is a few steps ahead of Lucifer, shows up in New Prague just after me, because I've made a hell of a lot of racket with the imp on the hover train, and he takes to the underground, because the Earth will hide him better than the Red Light District. Lucas had his hidey hole underground, and there's a reason. Lucifer never said anything about us being the only ones after these demons. And he may have even wanted to clean us up as loose ends.
That doesn't explain why he gave you back a demon's power. Unless that doesn't matter to him. Unless he can easily take it away or kill you anyway.
My imagination just worked too goddamn well when it came to the possible perfidy of the Prince of Hell. Jaffermel was silent. His thumb stroked my arm. What do you think?
It explains much of the chain of events. And yet...
Right. And yet. I'm missing some crucial piece. A piece you probably have. Help me out here, okay?
It makes sense to paint a big target on my back and send me out. The demon in that building called me Right Hand. Even if he mistook me for you because we smell alike, how could he know you were working for Lucifer again so soon? Unless Lucifer made a point of leaking the information. If I was him looking to get rid of me in the most efficient way possible and still use me for maximum benefit, that's what I'd do.
Indeed.
The train began to slow, resistance clamping down.
I would not want to be your enemy, Hedera.
Good. I'd hate to have to hunt you down.
McKinley swung up to his feet. Jaff braced me as the train slid to a stop. McKinley swung out the door as soon as it opened, scanning the station. Fluorescent light ran wetly over pre-hegemony yellow tile and a framed picture of a jowly, scowling man with a thick black mustache was set behind plasglass.
Some kind of muckety-muck who negotiated the Freetown's charter, probably.
The station was deserted. I had little idea of where I was, since this was underground. Where are we?
The outskirt, near Rosinia Transport. I don't think we were followed.
I don't think so either. Where do we meet the others?
Jaffermel shrugged. He didn't immediately answer me.
Van will take the others from the city. From here, the hunt is mine.
Hello?
I snapped my fingers in front of his face. McKinley, frankly, stared, his jaw dropping. It was the first sign of surprise I'd ever seen from him.
Excuse me, but I believe I was contracted for this hunt, Jeff.
A new thought struck me. One so terrible I almost choked. My heart began to pound as I stared up at him, my hand frozen in midair.
They were simply bait. You wanted the Magi to draw out the demon so you could see it. You're not surprised by any of this. You wanted me to go with the others so they could drag me clear of the blast zone, and you wanted me to run to McKinley so he could... You arrogant bastard!
My stomach flipped over.
No wonder Bella looked so frightened. She figured out she and her partner were bait, and my assumption that they were hunters instead of support staff must have scared her silly.
I am concerned more with your safety than your wounded pride. It makes no difference. I prefer you where I can see the mischief you intend. I expected you would not accede.
I have so many problems with this.
I will not be a party to using other people as a lure, Jaffermel. I won't do it.
I counsel you to caution. I am no longer your familiar. I am your fallen. Not bound to obey, only to protect. You would do well to be silent. My temper wears thin.
I closed my eyes and tipped my head back, feeling my jaw work as I struggled to bite back the words rising toward the surface. When I was fairly sure I had my own temper under control, I gave him a level glare, bringing my chin back down and half-lidding my eyes.
I suggest you go a little easier on the autocracy, Jaframel. I don't like being ordered around and kept in the dark. What do you think I am, some kind of idiot you can just...
I barely even saw him move. The next thing I knew, I was pinned against the tile wall, his fingers twisted in my rig and my feet a good half meter in the air. He held me up by the leather straps one-handed, as negligently as a mama cat might dangle a kitten, his arm fully extended, his lips pulled back from his teeth and his eyes green infernos. I kicked, struggling, my fingers sinking into his hand. He simply shook me, my head bouncing. He gauged it carefully. My skull didn't hit the tile.
I have been endlessly patient with you, but we cannot have any more of this. If you will not do as I ask without question, I will shackle you, give you to McKinley, and continue alone.
He didn't even shift his weight as I kicked again. Somehow he avoided the strike without moving, his eyes never leaving mine.
There is something in this game I do not understand, and until I understand fully, I will not allow further disobedience. The prince means to kill you with this errand despite his oath, and someone has almost succeeded in his desires twice already. I am through with play. Do as I ask, and you can force a penance from me later at your leisure. But for the next 7 years, Hedera, you are under my guard. Make it easier for both of us, and simply obey.
Stop it! God damn it, Jaframel, stop it! You're scaring me!
He shook me once more. Maybe just to drive home how he could keep me if he wanted to. And dropped me. I landed hard, the shock jolting from my heels all the way up to my neck.
This puts a whole different complexion on things.
My eyes instinctively flicked toward the stairs leading to the surface. He caught my chin, cupping delicately, his fingers gentle but iron hard. I caught a flash of McKinley standing with his arms folded, a study in disinterest, though his eyes had a gleam I didn't like.
Don't even think of it. It is for your own good, my curious. You will do as I say.
I jerked my chin free of his hand.
You didn't have to do that.
He was still for a long moment, his face expressionless. He moved as if he would touch me, but I flinched back from him, my right hand closing around the hilt, and I stared at him as if he was a stranger. My mouth suddenly dry, and the noise inside my head much worse. His eyes dropped, taking in my stance and my white-knuckled hand on the hilt.
I am careful with you. I am so very careful. Can you imagine what would happen were you caught by a demon who did not care for you?
It's one thing to be afraid he'll use his strength and speed to force me into whatever he wants. It's a completely different thing when he actually does it.
My chest ached. My cheeks stung as the emerald spat a single glowing spark. My rings spiked and swirled with power.
You shouldn't have done that.
I will do what is necessary to protect you. Have I not proved it?
You shouldn't have done that.
I could think of nothing else. Tears rose behind my eyes, a hot, blurring weight of water. I swallowed them. Set my jaw.
This serves no purpose.
How could you?
I rubbed at my sternum. He hadn't hurt me. Not physically, not yet. But I still rubbed at the spot where his knuckles had pressed.
How could you do this to me?
I do what I must.
He grabbed my arm and dragged me away from the wall.
Come, we have a transport to catch.
Where are we going?
I resisted just enough to make him work for it. He cast me one extraordinarily green glance.
Another Freetown.
I didn't like the grin on his face. It was too wide, too white, and too satisfied with current events. McKinley looked very happy to see me put in my place.
The Sarajevo DMZ.
Sarajevo? They don't allow humans in there.
I felt a disbelief so huge it swallowed me whole. A disbelief only broken by a single phrase caroling through my head.
How could you, Jaffermel? How could you?
And under that, an even simpler phrase, repeating over and over again.
I trusted you.
New Prague had a transport dock, Rosinja, on the outskirts. Jaffermel simply walked through security. McKinley and I did the same, and I found myself ushered aboard a sleek, gleaming black hover. I couldn't even bolt for freedom on the dock. I'd just gotten an object lesson in how fast Jaffermel was when he wasn't playing nice. It would be ridiculous to try to escape him.
Besides, if there's more hellhounds out there, I don't stand much of a chance anyway.
I dropped into a low black pleather seat, laid my katana across my knees, and proceeded to stare out the window at the lights of New Prague.
No wonder Bella and Nogami were frightened. No wonder Jaffermel didn't seem worried with the group's progress. He'd just been waiting for the enemy to show himself. Just playing patty cake with me in the meanwhile, using the humans as bait. The fact that he sent them out with Van and Tjans doesn't excuse the pitilessness of the action. No harm done, but still. And I'd been a part of it. He'd made me a part of it. If it had gone bad, I would have been partly responsible. I know now why he's been so damn close-mouthed about the Fallen. If I'd had any intimation that he was no longer bound by the rules of a demon familiar, I might have dug my heels in a little more and demanded he tell me everything. But I didn't have any warning. I didn't even know the devil was asking for me. Jaffermel didn't act guilty or like he was hiding anything. He spent every waking moment with me.
That led me to an uncomfortable wondering about just how often I'd been left alone while I slept, lulled into defenseless unconsciousness, and abandoned while Jaffermel met with Lucifer.
It could have happened easily. I trusted him.
He'd changed plans mid-stroke, bargained with Lucifer for a demon's power, and dumped me in the hover to be flown home just like a kid.
Never mind about Dante. She's so easily led, so easily manipulated. Only a human, after all.
I closed my eyes, searching for calm and an idea. Neither came. McKinley took over the hover's controls. Floating streams of hover traffic threaded between the glowing cubes of high-rises.
Jeff never had any intention of letting me do what Lucifer's right hand was supposed to do.
The thought that I wouldn't have minded playing second fiddle on a hunt like this if he'd just explained to me what was going on wasn't very comforting either. Most chilling of all was the logical extension to my line of thought. Lucifer had been angling to snare Jaffermel, use me for bait or distraction, and possibly kill Jaff all along. If, by some miracle, we succeeded, we would still have to deal with the machinations of the Prince of Hell. Chances were, if this plan failed, there would be another one, and possibly another after that.
I don't think the devil believes in giving up easily.
Jaffermel lowered himself into the seat opposite me. He stirred, went still, and moved slightly again, as if expecting me to say something. I held my tongue. What you cannot escape, you must fight. What you cannot fight, you must endure.
But I'm not enduring. I'm simply unable to do anything. I'm trapped by the very last person I'd expect to trap me.
I do not require you to forgive me or to understand. I demand only your cooperation, which I will get by any means necessary.
You should have told me. I asked you. You should have told me all of this.
You would not have agreed to any of it, especially my request for you to retreat while I deal with things beyond your strength.
God damn you. You might be right.
Well, we'll never know now, will we?
Perhaps not.
A small, tender smile. Didn't he understand what he'd just done to me? I could really hate you for this.
You will outgrow that.
Yeah? I don't think I will.
I only wish to keep you safe. You are fragile, Dante, for all that I have given you a share of my strength.
I'm strong enough for some things, Jaff.
Leave me alone.
I will not.
I mean it, Tears Jaframel. Leave me alone. Go finish your goddamn hunt and play patty cake with Lucifer. I want to go home.
Do you have a home, Dante?
Of course. He knows the thing to say that will hurt me the most.
I hunched my shoulders.
Saint City's close enough. That's where I lived most of my life before you showed up to ruin it. I thought you were my home, Jaff.
Our legends warn of the price of becoming a non-Kimel. I cannot be human, Dante, not even for you. Can you not understand?
Understand you? I thought I did. I thought you... He nodded, leaning forward, elbows braced on his knees, fingers steepled together.
Rage at me, Dante. Be angry. Extract your vengeance later. I will allow it. As long as you will have me in after, I am yours. There is no escaping it, not now.
I would have done anything you asked if you were just honest with me.
You are still in the habit of being human, Dante. It will take time.
He doesn't even sound sorry. At least when a human guy beats his girlfriend up, he makes a show of being contrite afterwards.
A hot tear rolled down my cheek.
I could hate you.
I warned you that you would. But you will outgrow that too.
Jack shit, I'm gonna outgrow hating you.
You are contracted for 7 years to the prince. I will make sure you survive them. If I must chain you to my side, I will.
Oh, I believe you. I'll survive all right. I'm good at surviving. And if I die, I have nothing to fear. My god will take me. Maybe you won't follow me there.
I closed my eyes again, leaned my head against the back of the seat. It was actually very comfortable.
Nothing but the best for the devil's henchmen.
You know, you could really teach the devil a thing or two.
I am the lesser evil, Hedera. Remember that.
There was nothing I could say. If it was either the devil or Jaframel, where did that leave me?
Screwed, that's where. Painted into a corner by a demon.
Again. Demilitarized Sarajevo is still almost contested territory. It took two Nichtren warlords and a whole cadre, 7 packs, of Werkane to restore order after the nightmare of genocide following the 70 Days War. Nowadays, it's the kind of place where even Scion bounty hunters don't go, because human bounties don't either. The northern half of the city is the demilitarized zone itself, where most non-human species have their enclaves. The southern half is patrolled by Werkane, whose only boss is the master of the territory, a Nichtren named Leonidas, who was the final winner of the scramble for power. It's one of the 4 non-human Freetown territories in the world, a zone from the Adriatic to the forward border of Puchkin Austria-Hungaro, bordered on the south by Hegemony Grecia. The last humans fled after the final Serbian uprising was put down by Leonidas and a Werkane Alpha named Masud about a century after the war, and the Hegemony and Puchkin negotiated absorbing the ethnic minorities and resettling them in the cultural areas that most closely resembled their former home. Linguists and culture historians were busy for years sorting the tangles out. Leonidas, probably understanding that even a Nichtren can't argue with joint hegemony-Puchkin thermonuclear attack, made sure most of the surviving humans were released unscathed. A few humans tried to go back, but nobody ever heard from them again. For a while, there was a movement to reclaim the territory, especially the psychic whirlpool of the Blackbird Fields. But in the end, the Nichtren paid off whoever they had to, and the whole issue became a moot point. Any human dumb enough to go into DMZ Sarajevo was either dead or turned within 24 hours, and that went for Scions, too. Even accredited Scions with combat training and bounties under their belt don't go there. There are rumors, of course, of people desperate enough to go into Sarajevo and bargain to be turned. There are also rumors of indentured servants and slave trading, but those are only whispered in dark corners. The hegemony in Puchkin largely paid very little attention as long as Leonidas kept order and nothing thermonuclear was smuggled out of the territory. I looked out the hover window with dazed wonder.
I'm actually in Sarajevo.
McKinley looked back over his shoulder.
We've got clearance. They'll meet us at the dock.
Jaframel nodded. He had sat there the entire flight, watching me. After a while, I had dropped all pretense of sleeping and instead had studied the darkness outside slowly falling under the hover. A faint grayness had begun in the east, the herald of dawn. I saw fewer lights than most cities, slices of complete darkness in certain districts north of the river. Lots of neon as we banked over the DMZ.
My lord.
Jaframel swung the seat to look toward the front of the hover.
Yes?
Is she, well...
It sounded like he couldn't find a polite way to phrase it.
What's he asking? If I've been taught my place yet? If I'm all right? If I'm still alive? Why the fuck should he care?
That is not your concern.
Yes, sir.
McKinley turned back to the front. After a few moments, I saw the console begin to flash as a hoverdock AI took over. McKinley eased himself out of the seat and stretched, joints popping. The metallic coating on his left hand shone dully with reflected light. He didn't look at me. I was happy about that.
Your cooperation, Dante. I want your word on it.
You sure you want to trust my word, demon?
You will give me little else.
The mark burned on my shoulder, velvet flame coating my nerves. The sensation had once been pleasant, comforting. Now I hated it. The feeling of my skin crawling with loathing under the power was new, interesting, and awful. It was the way I imagined an indentured servant would feel, helpless with impotent loathing and rage.
I will make you pay for this.
No doubt. Your cooperation, Dante. Full and complete cooperation. Your word on it.
Or what? You'll kill me? Hold me up against a wall again? Maybe you'll beat me up a little, slap me around, teach me my place.
A muscle in his sleek, golden cheek twitched.
I can think of more pleasant things to do with you, my curious. Your word.
I glared out the window, faintly surprised when the Placilica didn't crack.
You're gonna regret this, you bastard.
Fine. You have my word. I'll cooperate.
Cooperate with what and who, though? That's the question.
You will cooperate with me for as long as our bargain with the prince lasts.
You get 7 years from the day I negotiated with Lucifer.
The first chance I have, I'm ditching you. I can cooperate from anywhere in the world.
I have your word.
Damn it, he's pushing me.
I could tell that he had probably gauged just how far he could push me without me snapping and trying to run him through. If I did leap at him now, what would he do? Take my sword away? Cuff me with plasteel cuffs or the shackle of a demon's magic? I had no fucking chance at all unless I got a little creative and very lucky.
I already said so. Don't fucking push me. Even if you force me to do anything you want, I'm still gonna fight. I can make this difficult for you.
Maybe he'd get tired of it after a while. I hoped so. The hover descended. Jaframel still wasn't done.
Be careful what you make of me.
As if I was somehow responsible for him treating me like this. As if it was my fault. Just because he's stronger than me doesn't give him the right to do this to me, does it?
I set my jaw, looked down at my sword.
Did Jado give me a blade that could kill the devil?
Then, like a gift, an idea began to form. A deeper voice full of stubborn determination took shape in the middle of my chest.
If you don't fight this, you're gonna lose all the goddamn self-respect you've ever earned.
I looked up at Jaframel.
You have no right to treat me like an indentured servant. Just because I'm human doesn't give you the right to manipulate me or scare me into doing what you want.
I rocked up to my feet and stalked toward the front of the hover, looking down at the control deck. It would have been satisfying to smash it, but instead I simply stood there with my head down, looking out the window and scanning the dock we were headed for. It was gratifying to get the last word, for once. Nichtren were clustered at one end. A couple of Werkane hulked behind them. I marked one master, A large geometrical stain of power. Several acolytes with their own shields, depending on the masters like satellites. And a few human thralls. I suppose the thralls didn't quite qualify as human, but still, it gave me a pause to see them there. McKinley glanced at me, his back set against the partition between the cockpit and the rest of the hover.
I'm close enough to slip a knife into him.
The temptation was almost overwhelming. The hover docked, the AI landing us with a slight thump. I closed my eyes briefly, reached out, and then retreated back behind my own demon-strong shields. The air outside was alive with creeping power, like the House of Pain back in Saint City.
No wonder they don't let humans in. This many paranormal species in a city that's been soaked with pain and suffering make for a charged psychic atmosphere. You've got to keep on your toes, Danny. Stay loose and look out for opportunity. He can't pay attention to you every single moment of the goddamn day. At least I hope he can't. All it will take is a momentary lapse of attention, and I'll have a chance to at least make Jaff work for it, if not escape outright.
The good news was, if I could, by some miracle, get away from Jaframel, I might be able to find some place to hide and try to come up with a half-assed plan that would leave me alive.
The bad news is, if I run across another demon, or even another hellhound, I might end up dead anyway.
It was looking more and more likely all the time. The Nichtren Master was none other than Leonidas himself, a spare, slim, blandly beautiful man, only a little taller than me, with oily black hair elegantly corkscrewed and hanging down his back. He is the only person I've ever seen wear a microfiber toga with a broad purple stripe and sandals strapped to bare, caramel-colored feet. One of his acolytes held a parasol overhead. I was too busy checking out the lay of the land, so to speak, and so I missed most of the elegant bow he swept to Jaframel. His greeting, however, smacked me into full attention.
Well, if it is not the eldest son and his beloved, welcome to my humble city.
He spoke, of all things, passable American, probably more because it was the language of trade than in any deference to my limited linguistic capabilities. His voice was soft, carried enough power to set off a plasgun charge. He wasn't as eerily, creepily powerful as Nikolai, the prime of Saint City, but he was close. Very close. Which was surprising, since by my guess, Leonidas was the older Nichtren. Age usually, but not always, means power among them. If I'd still been completely human, I would have been frantically searching for a wall to put my back to. As it was, I didn't reach for my sword hilt, only because Jaframel's left hand circled my right wrist, a casual movement as effective as a spun steel manacle. My rings rang with light, though they didn't spark. I kept myself as tightly reined as a collared telepath, almost shaking with the urge to draw my sword. Jaframel nodded. The Nichtren's power was a candle flame next to the reactive glow of his. But I still felt more uneasy about the bloodsucker than I did about the demon. Go figure. Though Jaff was rapidly catching up, wasn't he? The raw spot on my chest, a reminder of claws, twinged, the pain fading. I wanted to rub at it again, quelled the urge.
My thanks for your kind welcome. I'm here to hunt, young one, and I'm not in a mood for trifles.
I was the shortest person on the dock. One of the acolytes, a massive blonde man, showed his fangs when he caught me looking at him. Blue lines swirled over his face, tattoos from before he was changed. Nichtren's skin doesn't scar.
At least, I don't think it does. Not from what I can remember from my paranormal anatomy courses at the academy.
The blonde wore what looked like moth-eaten wolf skin slung together in a kind of tunic. His eyes were dead pools that could suck a whole struggling human in to drown in their depths. The power here smelled mustily wicked. This was power that could eat a scion alive. But I was no longer fully human. And instead of eating me, the power well tickled deeper recesses in my psyche, bathed me.
Get a hold on yourself, Danny. You can't afford to sink into the atmosphere. Watch. Wait. Sooner or later, Jaff or McKinley will slip or be distracted. You gave your word, true, but you gave it under duress. You didn't promise to stay nailed to Jaffermill. And after what he's done, I'm sure it doesn't count anyway.
Unease rippled up my back.
It's your word, Danny. Your word. Your magical will depends on your word being truth. But you only promised to cooperate. You didn't promise you'd stay with him. You can cooperate from a distance just fine.
I have a message to give you, eldest. There is one who wishes an audience with your pretty companion. A demon with a green gem to match hers.
My heart thudded dimly in my chest.
Lucifer wants to see me. Again?
Jaffermel was utterly still for a full 5 seconds. Enough time for me to nervously check the entire dock again. I was fairly sure I could take the Nichtfren, and I'd killed Ware Cain before. But McKinley was a question mark. I didn't even know what he was. He wasn't demon, but he wasn't human either. And Jaffermel? I had no chance. So I had to find something to distract him, to throw him off balance. But what if...
What ifs won't keep you alive, woman? Focus!
It was a familiar male voice, laden with impatience. Jace's tone when he felt I wasn't paying proper attention during a sparring match. I was getting used to hearing Jace's voice in my head telling me to stay cool. Or maybe I was just talking to myself and using his voice. It's an occupational hazard for scions. The voices in our heads sometimes change into the people that matter most to us, or frighten us.
When and where?
The Haunt Tetua. Neutral ground. Tomorrow night, midnight, alone.
Leonidas grinned, exposing his fangs. The mark on my shoulder went live, a honeyed string of heat pressed into my flesh.
I will vouch for her safety, eldest. There have been assurances given.
By whom?
Now, can I tell you? I suspect your business lies with another demon, though.
Perhaps. I am here on another errand. I wish to speak to the Angelicos.
Most of the acolytes stepped back, and the master paled under the even caramel of his skin.
Angelicos? What the hell is that?
I am neutral.
There was a definite glint in his black eyes.
Try not to destroy too much of my city, huh? I've been a good friend to you.
Of course you have. My thanks, Leonidas.
Dawn is coming. You will excuse me.
The Nichtfren faded into the darkness. The Werecane loped away and vanished down a concourse that probably led to a hover train system to take visitors into the city. We were soon alone on the hover dock, a cavernous, half-shell structure.
Well, what do you make of that?
Don't send her alone. It's a trap.
What kind of trap? That is the question.
I was beginning to get that there was a history between these two, and another history between Jaff and Leonidas. McKinley was no longer grinning.
A green gem demon, either the prince or an androgyne, which is the same thing. Here, in the same city as the Angelicos Kos Raphelos, I don't like it.
The who's this, what's this?
It is not technically a summons. What do you think, Dante?
I swallowed bitterness, hearing him say my name so calmly. I'm not here to think, only to cooperate.
My lord.
Quiet.
Jaframel's voice made the entire dock groan softly.
We shall seek the Angelicos, then shelter.
I put my head down so that my hair fell forward, hiding my face. My lips moved silently, shaping a prayer to Anubis. It was habit, when I found myself in a hopeless situation, to pray. Even a combat-trained part-demon necromance is human enough for that. Sarajevo is dark, its cracked streets faded with old sloping, crumbling buildings that look deserted except for the curious lack of broken windows and graffiti. The wind is drenched with the stinging, fading and returning reek of Werecane, as well as the dry, feathery smell of Swanhild and the musty, delicious perfume of Nichtfren, dyeing the air in ripples. The darkness itself seems alive.
Not to mention hungry.
McKinley followed as Jaff made turns, seemingly at random. I walked, my right wrist still caught in Jaffermel's gentle but inexorable grasp. stealing little glances now and then to fix the city in my Magi-trained memory. The darkness here was deeper than in human cities, where orange light from hover wash and free plas reaches up into the sky. The street lamps here were mostly dark, though not broken. The power in the air stroked my shields, teased at me, even through the heavy weight of Jaframel's aura over mine. It was the end of that long, dark time of early morning that is late afternoon for Scions. I heard the indefinable sound of conscious beings moving around. The faint grayness of dawn was growing stronger, but sunrise was still a way off. Jaframel finally stopped on a corner, looking down one more featureless Sarajevo street. I could smell the river when the explosive furry reek of wearcane vanished from my overloaded nasal receptors. I could also smell a faint, delicious smell I had to think about before I could identify. Bread baking, with a drier tang, like feathers.
We are visiting a being.
Jaframel's fingers were gentle around my wrist, but I didn't bother to try to pull free.
McKinley will wait outside for us. You will not be in any danger.
Would you tell me if I was?
That was unfair, but I wasn't feeling too fucking charitable right at the moment. He led me across the street. I looked up when Jaframel paused. There was a high wall, older stone set in smooth concrete and brimming with power. The smell of wearcane returned, stinging my nose. The shielding over the wall was something I'd never seen before. A violet haze that looked strangely diaphanous, but still hummed as Jaff drew near. There was a small, narrow wooden gate vibrating slightly, moving back and forth like the oscillation of a heartbeat. I couldn't see what was behind the gate, and the hazy shielding was enough to make me hinky. I had never seen this type of defense before. Unknown was synonymous with possibly dangerous when it came to magic, especially shielding. I stiffened. And Jaff actually stopped.
There is no danger.
I didn't bother replying.
Now I have to act like I'm not frightened.
McKinley stepped to the side, leaned against the wall, and folded his arms. The metallic glow over his left hand sparked with a flush of pale purple light that deepened to an indigo glow as he seemed to sink into the smooth surface, his eyes turning even darker. My jaw threatened to drop as he almost vanished, not only to my physical, but also to my psychic senses. Jaframel set off again. I stared at where McKinley had literally blended with the wall.
How did he do that? What the hell is he?
Jaff pushed the gate open. I passed through the hazy shield. It slid over the edge of Jaframel's aura, sparkling gold as it interacted with the scorching mark of a demon in the landscape of power. My rings swirled uneasily, my sword rattling inside its sheath. Inside the wall was a garden. The persistent smell of wearcane and Nichtren died, replaced by the scent of damp earth, rosemary and lilies. The pungent breath of sage touched my face. The breeze inside the walls was warm and full of the smell of spicy, lush growth. The walk underfoot turned to flagstones. I saw an oak tree in full leaf, its trunk as big around as an illegally augmented family bodyguard, and nasturtiums with leaves the size of small pizzas trailed over a stone bench. Night-blooming jasmine scented the air, and I smelled honeysuckle and the sharp tang of rue. A persistent breath of dry, oily feathers drifted by, making the garden even sweeter. It didn't smell like the very beginning of winter, nor was it as chilly as it had been outside the wall. It felt like summer, a perfect summer night in a flawless garden. Rising above the garden was a temple, high and narrow with a Novo Christer symbol, an uneven Tau cross worked into the pre-American era stained glass over the front door. I thought of the religions of submission and their war on Scions. Stone steps eased up from the flagstone walk, and I was almost up the steps before I realized I was grinning foggily.
I'm smiling. Why am I smiling?
The air was soft as silk, laden with good memories. Gabe and I weeding a plot of Feverfew together on a mellow spring evening. Eddie and I practicing with staves. Doreen in a wide straw hat turning earth in the garden she'd planted. Jace with a bandana tied around his golden head and muscle moving under his skin as he helped me lay shingles on the roof.
What? What the hell is this?
Angelicos. Is it pleasant? The beginning stages usually are.
That doesn't sound good.
I struggled to think clearly.
Why is it?
Looking up at him sent another cascade of memories through me. His voice as we lay in bed, my cheek against his shoulder, Jaffermel stroking my back as I dialed Gabe's number, our linked hands swinging between us as we walked down a dusty Toscano road. He stopped, his fingers gentle on my wrist.
Only a side effect, part of its lure. It will fade.
Well, would it kill you to tell me what's going on?
I knew I should have been angry. It was odd to expect to feel it, but to be so curiously removed from any anger, as if a reflex circuit had been disabled. The breeze caressed my hair, touched my jeans, seemed to swirl around me. He let go of my wrist, sliding his fingers down to lace through mine.
Come.
Inside, mellow candlelight played over the soaring interior. All unnecessary interior walls had been taken out. The choir loft was an empty space, and the bell tower had no steps anymore. The floor was stone, polished to a low shine by centuries of foot traffic. The path up the middle toward where the altar would have been was still visible, and the pattern of darker stone where pews would have marched in ordered rows. Up on the dais, thick white pillar candles crouched on holders of every shape, their drenching, flickering glow burnishing every surface with mellow gold. I looked up at the sound and saw it land lightly on the floor. I say it because it was strangely sexless. Lucifer had his own brand of pure androgynous beauty that was nevertheless tinted with absolute masculinity. This being lacked the hurtful razor edge of the devil's golden immaculateness. Pale skin feathering into platinum hair, winged, colorless eyebrows, slim bare shoulders and a long white silken vest. It wore loose, fluttering trousers and had shapely bare white feet. Its eyes were bleached but glowing, a blue that reminded me of the winter sky in certain parts of Puchkin Rus on sunny days when the wind comes knife-edge over the permafrost and slices straight through the best and warmest synth fur. That blue is as intense and fathomless as it is cold, a faded color that nevertheless looks infinite and manages to drench everything underneath it with eerie, depthless light. The eyes were set in a face that could have shamed every gene-spliced holovid star by comparison, a marvel of delicately flawless architecture. I wanted to look around, take in the territory just in case, but the creature looked at me, and its wings ruffled. Did I mention the wings? Much taller than the creature, who towered a head and a half above Jaframel. The wings were soft white and feathered, wide and broad like a vulture's. The smell of feathers mixed with a deeper, sweeter fragrance I couldn't place. A warm breeze redolent of baking bread and that sweet smell kissing my face. I stared, I'll admit it. I gawked like a primary schooler arriving at academy for the first time. It examined us both. Its mouth moved.
My greetings to you, Avarik Anankinel, and to your bride.
Its voice eased aches I hadn't even known I was carrying. The meaning arrived complete in my head without passing through my ears, as if the speaker was a Class 5 telepath.
Greetings, Angelicos Kos Raphelos.